We'll go to our sermon today. It's 2 Peter chapter 1. If you'll go there, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 3. You stand for the reading of the word. It says, by his divine power, there's no one that has this power but God. By his divine power, everyone say God.
God.
Yes, that's him. God has given us everything. Everyone say everything.
Everything.
We need for living a godly life. Now I can just stop right there. Notice that it doesn't say everything you want, everything you need. You and I, we need something, someone. We need someone to live a godly life. No, it's not coming to church all the time, although that's a very good thing for your benefit and the benefit of the body of Christ. Well, I give to the church. No, that's good that you give because you're being obedient to God and you're putting him first in your finances and you're honoring him with that. We need everything that God has for us so that we can live this godly life. Let's continue. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. God, I thank you for your word. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Any of you ever walk outside your house and you're like, man, I forgot something because you needed it. And what'd you do? You go back into the house. Maybe you're already down the road and you're like, nah, I don't need it. No, I do need it. So then you turn back around. See, Peter's letter here is to all the believers. It's to us today to encourage you, to encourage me for righteous living. This is why Peter wrote this letter, his first letter and his second letter. And the fact that what God has given them, what God has given us, is sufficient for righteous living. You can try to live righteous on your own, but all of everything you do, everything you say will not be right, will not be enough, not even close, okay? And we kind of touched a little bit on it this morning about needing the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. And if you'll read Romans chapter 8, it talks about how the Spirit will lead you to life and peace, but the flesh, that's doing whatever you want to do. Well, I'll do whatever I want to do. I'll say whatever I want to say. Teenagers say that, right? And the adults are like, yeah, but the adults were teenagers at once. So yes, the adults have done that too. I'll do whatever I want to do. I'll say whatever I want to say. Shoot, I don't care. That's being led by the flesh. And the word of God says it leads to death. Sin and death. And so we need God's Holy Spirit to lead us for righteous living. Many times in our lives, it may not seem or feel like God has provided all of your needs because you're lacking in something. Your prayer is not answered. But if you come to understand verse 1, by his divine power, God, not you, not your husband, not your wife, not your mom, not your dad, God has given you everything you need for living a godly life. So why go somewhere else? Why go to yourself? Why dictate you as the supreme leader of your life? Why not go to the one who has provided everything that you need for godly living? Maybe not really interested in godly living. Well, if you're not interested in godly living, there's no road to heaven on that path. According to what God has said, according to what God has done, he has made sure to cover all and every area of your need. Anyone ever, I think I might have asked this question before. You've ever gone somewhere to a restaurant, to a store, and you're paying, you don't have the plastic, okay? You don't have that plastic, you just have cash. Back in the day when you had cash, a lot of people don't really have cash. They just like to just swipe or they use their phone and Apple Pay or whatever. But back in the day when we all used cash and you didn't have enough, but there was that wonderful person behind you that kind of just helped you so that you wouldn't feel like, oh, can you put that back? Yeah, I don't have enough money. But that person behind you that would just come up and say, oh, I got him. Yeah, all you need 50 cents? Sure, I got him. And I try to keep change in my pocket, but sometimes I just don't like change in my pocket. But I like to keep change in my pocket for that very reason. That if someone's in front of me and they're short 15 cents, 57 cents, oh yeah, hey, I got you. You need a quarter? All right, yeah, yeah. I mean, to be able to just, because I understand the feeling of not having enough. And then I'm like, can you put that back? You know, and then of course, some of you might go to some of those places where there's a little cup right next to the cashier register where people put nickels and pennies in there and you kind of search in for there. I understand the feeling. But I am so thankful that I don't have to worry about that God didn't cover a certain area of my necessity for godly living that, oh, I'm just out of luck. I'm just out of luck. God provides everything. When I read the word everything, whatever that Greek word is, it means everything. Todo. Everything. That's what it means. All the way. You know, those of you ever go and have a, you know, order a cheeseburger somewhere. I'm hungry right now. You order a cheeseburger somewhere and you say all the way. That means everything that they got back there as far as toppings will go on your hamburger. I'm so thankful that God has made sure to cover all the areas. I did it's not my notes, but I did a study on Isaiah 53 on how the fact of what Jesus went through for you and me. And the fact that he died for our sins and he paid the price for your peace, for my peace. And he paid the price for your healing and my healing. He paid it all. There was not one iota, one inch, one area of your life and your necessities that God said, I got nothing. He paid it all. He covered it all. Instead, he has given us his word, his son, his spirit, and his authority. Verse 3 tells us that God has given us everything. Thus the title of my message, God has that covered. You're sitting here thinking, well, I got a couple of things that God hasn't covered yet. Well, that's good. Yet, keep looking to him because he's the only one that has covered everything of what you need for godly living. And that's important for godly living, because if you're trying to live any other way or you're straddling the fence living godly on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, you're living your own way, it's not going to work that way. That's not the path to the kingdom. So what is, okay, Pastor, God has what covered? Everything you need. If we trust God, my first slide here. I've had some issue with my glasses, and I actually went to my first appointment for my eyes, and I don't really like this, you know, but I choose to wear them all the time because if I put them down, I'll lose them. If I put them in my shirt, even when I pick up my kids, I think this one already kind of, you know, I haven't even had this over a month yet. And so I just kind of am trying to tell myself, keep them on. And they are what do you call that? Bifocals. But there's no line because I don't want to look older than. So I learned that from the doctor. She said, you don't want that line. I was like, okay, yeah, I don't want that line. But what we see, if you're seeing certain things that God hasn't provided, just because of what you see doesn't mean that God doesn't have that covered. What we feel, just because of how you feel, doesn't mean that God has left you. That God has put that sign that says, be back in 15 minutes. God will never do that. He hasn't left you. And if you're looking at what you don't have, well, so-and-so's got that, and so-and-so's got that, but I don't have this. If you come to this verse here in verse 3, by God's divine power, there's nobody that has more power than God. There's nobody like God. There's nobody that comes close to God. So by his divine power, he has provided everything that you need. I mean, that will help in what you see and what you don't see and how you feel. If you hold on and stand on to this verse here, that God has given you everything. Go to my second slide, please. If we trust God for our eternal life, we must trust him with today's struggles. Tony Evans says this, if God is powerful enough to take you to heaven, he's powerful enough to have your back on earth. Trust in him. Trust in him. Well, you don't see what I see. I don't have to see what you see. Well, you don't know how I feel. I don't have to know what you feel. And I'm not trying to be harsh or cold-hearted. I want to be sympathetic with you, that what you're seeing and what you're feeling, I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry you see that. I'm sorry you don't have what you think you have. But God loves you, that God has provided everything, according to this verse, everything that you need for godly living. Now, if you don't want to live godly living, then that's up to you, but you're never going to get to heaven. You're never going to live in the things that God has provided and desired for you to have and to walk in. God looks at you and you are his masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10, that you are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus, that God has already prepared for things, he's already prepared them for things for you to walk in. But if you're not wanting that godly living, you're not going to walk in those things that God has already prepared and God has already covered and God has already provided. But just because you don't see and just because you don't feel it and just because you see that you don't have it doesn't mean that God hasn't already provided for it. I don't see any parents buying their 5 or 10-year-old kid a Ford Mustang or just an S10 pickup. They'll need it later on, but they don't need it right now. And our loving Father, he's much better than this father. He's much better than any of you fathers. He'll give it when you need it, and he'll walk with you through the thick and thin, through the highs and lows in life. My first point, I was just thinking, man, if we went to this first slide, that could be my message right there. And I actually thought that was going to be it, but the Lord's telling me to continue. My first point is trust in what God has given you and what he has for you. We began our Wednesday night refuel services a couple weeks ago with a study of Ephesians. And Ephesians is a great book. And a book that if you're not studying or you're like, where's Ephesians? Go to the table of contents, you'll find it. And just start doing some studies. And I just want to encourage you, just do one verse. Just start with one verse and just read it. And look to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, give me a revelation. What does this mean? And if there's some references in your Bible, some Bibles have notes on the bottom. They have references. Just go to those references. But allow God's word to speak to you. Because, I mean, Ephesians, it's a book that was written so that the church can actually live this godly life as Peter was writing to the believers here, that God has given us everything. We encourage you to attend those services on Wednesday night. Start at 6:30. If you can't come because you're working or you got graveyard shift or whatever, you're headed to work, you can watch it on Facebook, on Hidden Treasures Assembly of God Facebook page. Some of you might say, I don't have Facebook. You can go to Google, Hidden Treasures Assembly of God Facebook page, and it'll come right up and you can watch it. You don't have to have a Facebook account to watch it. Today's passage takes us to Luke 15. So let's go to Luke 15. The emphasis is on the prodigal son. And as we read the prodigal son, you might come up with questions like I did. Why did the knucklehead leave? Why did he leave? And those of you who are parents, those of you can remember way back when you graduated and you left high school and you graduated, you wanted to leave. You went to the military. You went to college. You went on some wild adventure like this prodigal son did. He went on a wild adventure, but he left. Why did he waste what his father gave him? Why did he not continue to stay with the pigs? Because if you didn't know the story, I'm kind of, spoiler alert, he ends up in a pig pen. He ends up in a place feeding pigs. So let's go to Luke chapter 15, verse 11. It says, then he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. You ever wonder what the word prodigal means? I did. Anybody ever look up the dictionary what prodigal means? I asked somebody the other day, and I'm like, no, you know what? I don't know. It means a person who spends money or resources recklessly or in an extravagant way. One commentator said that this passage should be called the love of a father because that's what sticks out to him. But most of your Bibles would probably have the title heading over this section. And it will probably say the prodigal son. So he left his father and he told his father, really, you know, just, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. My inheritance. Give me what's mine. You know, I probably would have said, here's your pillow. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, verse 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. That's pigs, if you didn't know. Verse 16. And he would, and if you didn't know this, Jews didn't really, I mean, they didn't eat pigs, let alone go in and throw slop and clean up the whole pig pen. That just wasn't what Jewish people did. So, verse 16, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. So he was already thinking about this stuff that I'm feeding the pigs looks really good right about now. He must have been really hungry. Verse 17, but when he came to himself, you want to underline, if you're following your Bibles, underline that verse in your Bible. Of course, I would advise you not to underline on your phone. You might have a red, yellow ink on your phone. That's a joke. Anyway, it failed. So he said, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? You know, God will allow you to endeavor or go through something physically to get you to start thinking spiritually of what you did have. That's why that term that certain people get to the bottom of a barrel and all they can do is look up to God. God didn't want them to get to the bottom of the barrel. I believe and I know by experience that God has been talking to them all the way down to the bottom of the barrel. And when they had nowhere else to look to but look up, they looked up to God. And they, by God's grace and mercy, they were still alive to be able to look up and call upon God for salvation. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he hadn't said this yet, but he's already planning. He's already thinking of what he's going to do, what he's going to say. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This is how much, because we have no idea, did this boy clean himself up? We just found out he was feeding a bunch of pigs, probably in the pig pen. It doesn't say that he got cleaned up. He doesn't say he got refreshed up. I mean, he didn't have any money to buy new clothes because he didn't have any money to eat, because he was looking at what he was feeding the pigs, thinking that that's good enough to eat. The compassion of the father, it says the compassion of the father, and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. All stank, all dirty, all nasty. Didn't matter to the father. Thinking why this is probably why one commentator said this parable ought to be changed, or not ought, but to him it would be labeled or defined as the parable of a loving father. Verse 21, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. That's something that I pray that you've said this morning. As I was zooming in on Jesus, God, forgive me of my sin. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer to be called your son. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, not the thrown one, not the one that's hanging on the, you know, that's all wet and nasty, not the one that's in the bottom of the hamper. Bring out the best robe. He's the father. Who do you think that best robe belongs to? The father. Bring out the best robe and put it on him. I was telling Shannon, it didn't even mention, bring out the bath, bring out the soap. This boy stank, he need a bath. And then put the best robe. No, it didn't. Doesn't say that. And in my head, I'm still picturing he just came out of some slop, pig slop. Stank, nasty, hungry, cold and alone. And he came to the father, and the father didn't wait on the stoop for him to come up, but the father ran to him, hugged him, and kissed him. Then the father said, go get me the best robe and put it on this son, put it on him, and bring a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. For many of us parents, we understand that desire, the wants of a children after graduation, they leave home. Some of you, you being honest, you might be like, I'm kind of sad that they're leaving. Like, let them go, but I'm kind of sad that they're leaving. Right now, I'm sad that Josiah and Lydia are still gone. I would love for them to come back. Some of your parents are like, you're crazy. But no, I would love for them to come back. Life back then is nowhere close to how it is today, but there are some similarities. He left to his hormones and his desire to go see the world, to live a life where he would extravagantly waste what his father gave him, where he would spend all that he had that was his, that he would recklessly waste it all. See, because what his father gave him was valuable. What the father gives us is valuable. But we're so focused on ourselves, living our own life, our own way, we don't realize that God has a godly life for us to live, and that he's provided everything that is needed for that. Go to my next slide. Shannon brought out the hourglass last week. I thought I'd bring it out this week. It says, whereas, James chapter 4, verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Your life, my life, so valuable, so yet so fragile, because it could be here one day and gone the next. We're not promised tomorrow. This is why we need to really understand that first verse that I read, verse 3, that by his divine power, God has provided everything that you and I need for godly living. So why would we go anywhere else? Why would we look to anything else? My second point is trust in what is eternal. This is where what we see, how we feel really gets us in trouble. And what we see that we don't have but other people have gets us in trouble. Because we're looking at earthly things, temporary things, instead of what God wants us to look at as eternal things. Things that have value, eternal value. Go to my next slide. You know, I'm not sure how many of you understand this, but money, they grow wings and fly away. Don't look in your pocketbook right now to see if it's actually growing wings. That doesn't literally, but it does grow. I mean, try to keep, you know, some of you are really good at this. You're really good at saving. But here, scripture does tell us in Proverbs 23:5, will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. You and I cannot take our physical property that's here on earth. We cannot take it to heaven. So therefore, what will you put your trust in? What will you strive for? Something that will just stay on this side, or something that we can take to the other side? So godly living. So why would we waste what God has given us? Like this prodigal son did. He wasted what his father gave because he thought that what he was going to, where he was going, the life that he was going to live was going to be better. When he realized, thankfully, he realized that life back home was better than where he was. Even life back home as a servant was much better than where he was. And did you understand, and did you see the word sandals when the father said, bring the sandals? Servants didn't wear sandals. Family members did. A ring meant authority. You're a part of the family and you have authority. Put a ring on him. So now he's got the best robe. Yes, he stank, but it's the robe that says, you are a part of my family. Yes, his feet were all nasty, probably gnarly, but they were nasty, but the sandals were on. You are not a servant, you are family. And the ring, you are family because you have authority here now. At one time, he didn't have anything on his fingers, but until the father put that ring on. I wonder if it was ever a time that these two boys, because he has a brother, but the Lord didn't lead me to focus on the other brother, but just on this one son. But it just... did the brother, the two little brothers, when they were younger, did they go into the father's, you know, room to go on to put on the best robe and act like dad and go to his, you know, his big nice rings? Or did the kids ever do that? My kids have done that. They've, you know, my girls, they've gone into Shannon's, you know, closet and grabbed certain things and walk out, you know, in Shannon's shoes. And my boys have tried to put my shoes on when they were younger, and because they were Poppy's shoes. And so they were their father's shoes. And I wondered if the boys ever did that. And ever think, man, will I ever wear that robe? The point that Jesus was making was that somebody was lost, but now they were found. Did you know that it doesn't take a night, one night, to fat a calf? It's not a microwave meal. This calf was being fed, was being fed, was being fed, because one day we're going to kill it. We're going to have a cow roast. We're going to roast a cow. We're going to have some brisket on the grill, and we're going to eat good because we're feeding this calf. So it took a long time. I'm thinking this father was saying, when he comes home, when he comes home, we're going to have a party. When he comes home, we're going to celebrate, because my son who is lost, who has left because he chosen to leave, has now returned, and he who was lost is now found. That's the point and the moral of what Jesus was saying, because even when we read the couple of parables above this part, something was lost, but there was a celebration because something was found. Somebody was found. Something was found. My last point is to trust that God wants you. He wants a right relationship with you. Thus, the reason why he's provided everything that you and I need for godly living. So there's no need to say, oh, I'm never going to do that, or I can't do this. God has provided all that you need for godly living. Quit looking at other people. Look to Jesus. Quit looking at what you don't see and look at what his word says. And can I encourage you? I know it's easier said than done. And I encourage you to stop going by your emotions and your feelings. God desires to heal and mend broken hearts. Hearts that are shattered, lives that are shattered. I have no idea what you're going through now or what you've been going through this last few months. But I know that there is a God who loves to heal and repair and restore, because he makes new things. He restores and makes new things. Trust that God wants a right relationship with you. Trust that God wants a daily communion where you and him are talking all the time, every day, not just on Sundays. Why continue to live a life that keeps you apart from your heavenly Father when he desires a daily relationship with you? Luke chapter 15, verse 22 says that the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put on him this, and put on him the ring, and bring sandals, and put it on his feet, and bring that fatted calf and kill it, and let's eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to be merry. William Barclay's commentary says, I want to read what, talking about the three lost things. And he closes with this: the love of God can defeat the foolishness of man, the seduction of the tempting voices, and even the deliberate rebellion of the heart. I'm not sure where you're at today, but there's a love that God has for you. There's a life that he desires for you to walk in. And he's covered every area. He's taken care of all that what you need to live that life, if you will choose to look to him. If you will choose today to trust in him. If you'll choose today to trust in the eternal things and not in the physical things. You see, God does desire to restore you to become a part of his family, to be who he created you to be. And you might sitting here saying, well, I'm already, you know, I've been found and I've been living for the Lord. Take that challenge that I just gave. Stop looking at what you see, looking at what you don't have and how you're feeling. And don't go by that, but go by what God's word is telling you today. Trust in him. Lean on him. Lean on him. Lean on his word, not on your own understanding of what you think the right way or the right thing should be. Allow his Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you.